we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome to Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. We're glad to have you here with us today. Special greeting to all our online listeners or watchers or YouTubers or podcasters or whatever you are. We love our podcast listeners and our YouTubers. Please leave us a comment or rate us in the iTunes store. That always helps us also. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm blessed to serve as the lead pastor here at Redemption Church. And I want to tell you that we are in the fourth week of our series, right? It's a mission and vision series. Does anybody remember what mission is?
Purpose.
It's what you're going to do. What is the mission of Redemption Church? To declare the good news of Jesus and see others become followers of Christ. Let's say it one more time. To declare the good news of Jesus and see others become followers of Christ. The mission is the what. You need to know what you're trying to do in life. And then you've got the vision. What is vision compared to the mission? It's how. It's how you're going to do it. You don't just need to know what you're going to do. You need to know how you're going to do it. What is the vision here at Redemption Church? What is it? To be a first century church
connecting with
a 21st century world. All right, that's very good. That is our vision here, to be a first century church connecting with a 21st century world. We've been talking the last 3 weeks, and we'll continue for three more weeks, continuing today, about six values we see in the first century church that are needed in the 21st century world right now. Absolutely needed. And number one was that they were all about Jesus. Every sermon was about Jesus. Every chapter in the book of Acts is all about Jesus. Jesus is alive and well. He's not some historical figure that they hearkened back to. Remember when Jesus was around and he used to say, no, Jesus was right there in their midst, and they were all about Jesus. Clap your hands if you want to be all about Jesus today.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Number two, they expected and they experienced super spiritual transformation.
Yes.
Spiritual transformation. They didn't just come to church and hear a good sermon. They didn't just come and get a nice pat on the back. They expected the world to change. They expected their world to change. They expected sick to be healed, lost to be found,
yes,
depressed to be made happy, those that are empty to be filled, and that's what they expected, all right? Spiritual transformation. And then third, last week we talked about that they lived in community.
Amen.
All about Jesus, spiritual transformation, and they lived in community. If you don't know the people in your church, then you aren't living a Book of Acts Christian experience. You need to know the people in your church. You know, the world is going crazy all the time. Right? The day is January 29th, 2017. But really, you don't need me to clarify what day it is, because that could be said any day of the week, of any year ever. The world is going crazy.
Yeah.
Right? You know what the world really needs? It needs some community. It needs some people to take Jesus in their heart and come live in community with them. All right, so those are the three things we've covered today. I want to tell you that a first century church never loses sight of the mission. A first century church is missional. Can you say missional?
Missional.
Missional. Success in life is found in having a meaningful mission and then focusing your energy towards its completion. You got to find a meaningful mission. Let me tell you, not every mission in life is meaningful. You'll find some people that'll come up to you and they'll give you suggestions on what you should do in life, and maybe that's not all that meaningful, all right? But you need to find something in life that is meaningful. And that's number one. And then the second thing is equally important. Then you devote your focus. You devote your energy. You devote your time. You devote all you have towards completing this meaningful mission. Far too often in life, we see people focused on meaningless things. They don't have a good mission. They have something that's kind of dumb, really, and purposeless, right? Just floating out into the abyss that is like the ocean of life. And no, get tied to something that's powerful and true, and then give your energy and strength to it. Ever see somebody give their energy and strength to a relationship that had no meaning? Oh, I care what these people think. Who are these people? Don't care about those. You can care about those people, but you're focusing on things that have no bearing on your life. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ gave us a mission, and it's meaningful, and His church should be giving all their energy, all their focus, and all their time to the mission. The church of Acts, the church in the first century, was focused on the mission. They were passionate about the mission. Think about their passion. You never were around the first century church and said, well, church is boring. That's like a synonym for church nowadays, that church is boring. Let me tell you, a church that's focused on the mission of Jesus Christ, that's not boring. It's not boring when people are raised from the dead. It's not boring when people find new life. It's not boring when the drug addict gets set free. It's not boring when the family that was headed for divorce is now back in business. Let me tell you, that's not boring.
All right. Amen.
They withstood trials and loss in order to fulfill the mission. They weren't just about the mission when things were going good. Right? I love Jesus when I got money in the bank. But when I don't, now I just... No. They were completely about the mission in good and bad. When they're walking around free people or when they're in a jail cell. Either way, they were about the mission. They left comfort and they walked into discomfort in order to see the mission accomplished. They risked ridicule. They risked imprisonment. They risked their lives.
Yes.
They forsook other dreams. Y'all listen to me for a second. You got some other dreams in life? That's really awesome. But do not dare compare your other dreams in life to the mission of Jesus and His church. Don't you dare. It's going to look piddly when you compare those things, right? Well, I just want to have a nice house with a picket fence. That is awesome. God could give you that, absolutely. But man, the first century church, they forsook other dreams in order to hold their mission as the highest dream.
All right.
Paul said this. He said he counted other things as loss. He counted them as dung compared to the mission set before him, the plan of God, the purpose. So they were committed to the mission. Help me with that. They were committed to the mission. All right, trying to help us stay awake here on a Sunday afternoon here. Where did they get the mission? If it's so important, where did they find this mission? Did they find it in a denomination's manual? Did they go to the website and go, oh, look, there's an About Us page, and there it is. Where did they find this? Can somebody help? Who gave them this mission?
Jesus.
That's who gave them the mission. That's who's given us this mission today.
All right.
Jesus gave them the mission after His crucifixion. Everyone said after His crucifixion.
After His crucifixion.
Some people don't understand this timeline. I want you to get it. After the crucifixion, that's the cross. And after the burial in the tomb, and after the resurrection on the third day, Jesus stayed with His disciples for 40 days. For 40 days, a guy who hung on a cross and everyone laughed at him and said, he's dead. He walked around for 40 days and hung out with His disciples. Good Lord. A resurrected Jesus spent 40 days preparing His disciples for their mission. He took 40 days. And that's what He worked on. He worked on them preparing them for the mission. Do you know what a resurrected Jesus? Do you know that a resurrected Jesus will prepare you for your mission as well?
All right.
That same Jesus that was alive then, He will prepare you for this mission as well. Do you want Him to today?
Yes.
Before He ascended, Jesus looked at His disciples and He said this. This is Matthew 28:19. If you've got a Bible, if you've got a smartphone, if you've got a pen, anything like that, you might want to take some notes tonight, because today we're talking about this. All right, Matthew 28, 19, verse 19 through 20. Look at this. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I surely am with you always to the very end of the age. This scripture passage is known as the Great Commission. If you've ever been around church and heard that word thrown out, they are usually, when people say those words, they're usually thinking about Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 through verse 20. That is the Great Commission. It is not just a mission, it is a co-mission. It's co because we are all in this mission together. It's not a solo mission. It's a co-mission. In order to fulfill this mission, we need to cooperate. We share this mission together. And we share this mission with Jesus. Do you get that? That He is co-working with us to fulfill this mission. None of us can fulfill this mission alone. Your pastor cannot fulfill this mission alone. A youth worker cannot fulfill this mission alone. Your mom, your dad can't fulfill this mission alone. We need each other. Look at somebody and say, hey, I need you. Hey, I need you. Absolutely. Do you realize I need you to fulfill the mission God has for us? So let's get with it. Let's work together. Matthew 28, 19 is known as the Great Commission. But did you know there are four, everyone said four, other places in your Bible where Jesus shares with us this Great Commission? The wording's a little bit different, but we're going to look at it together today. I'm going to teach you about your mission today. This is not just someone else's mission. This is your mission. So if you want to take notes, that first thing I would write down is Great Commission. And I'd write Matthew 28, verse 19 through 20. You can write in your Bible. This would be something good to have right in the lip of your Bible. You open that first page and there's that blank page and you've got this written, Great Commission, my mission, Matthew 28, verse 19, 20. Jesus points out some things for our mission. Look at this verse one more time. Bring it up. Where's the first action word there? Where's go? You want to know what part of the Great Commission is? It is to go. You can't just stay still and fulfill this commission. You got to go and do what? Make disciples. Go, make disciples. This is your mission. You got to go and you got to make disciples of who?
All nations.
Let me tell you, that is a big deal right there. This mission is to go and make disciples of all nations. What else comes up? And doing what?
Baptizing
them. So go. Everyone said go.
Go.
Make disciples.
Make disciples.
Baptizing.
Baptizing.
These are elements that are present in the Great Commission. Let's look at the next verse. Verse 20. And teaching them to obey everything. Everyone say teaching. Teaching. Do you think you could teach somebody something about Jesus?
Yeah.
Everybody in this house ought to be able to teach somebody something about Jesus. You should never say, "But oh, that is not my gifting." Come on. You're teaching somebody something all the time. Sometimes we're teaching people bad things. Oh, can I just go there a little bit? If you just sat around and didn't worship through church, you taught somebody else how not to do it. But if you stood up on your feet and you clapped your hands and you got in the presence of God, you started teaching somebody. I love to bring my kids into church with me on the first row. They don't know what it's all about, but I'm doing my best to try to teach them that Daddy is passionate about Jesus Christ. I'm trying to teach them. So we go. Say go.
Go.
We make disciples. We baptize and we teach. That's the Great Commission. Let's look at another place where it's found, Mark 16. If I were taking notes in my Bible, I'd write Mark 16, verse 16, right under Matthew 28, 19. Let's look at this verse together. Let's start at verse 15. He said to them, go, look familiar, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. So once more, what do? You go. What else? You preach the good news? What is that? What's the good news? That's the gospel, right? That is the message of Jesus. Let me break down what the good news is. The good news is Jesus and everything about him. It's that he was born. It's that he lived the sinless life. It's that he was crucified. He was buried. He rose again. He ascended. And it's not done yet. He's coming back. And then everything else that touches his kingdom that's the gospel. That's the gospel. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, somebody that's on their deathbed, you tell them that there is hope in Jesus Christ, that's good news. You find somebody that's in the end of their rope, they're looking to end their life, and you tell them about Jesus, they will tell you that is good news, that there is hope, not just in this world, but in the world to come. That's some good news. And you take this gospel, this good news, where? To all creation. Just like the other one said, to all nations. No one is excluded from this good news.
Yes.
Nobody. Verse 16. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. What's that first really big word there? Believes. Part of the Great Commission is to believe. You have to believe and what? Be baptized. All right? We're moving on. Verse 17. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. Let me point out some other things about the Great Commission. Jesus' name is involved in the Great Commission. That you will do things, you will do mighty, powerful things that you and I could never do, but you'll do them in the name of Jesus. How do you beat a devil in the physical? How does Chris Fluitt beat a devil? Can I outsmart a devil? Can I play a fiddle well enough to defeat the devil? Anyone? No? No one? A keytar? Maybe. No, man. You see, it's in the name of Jesus that the demons are driven out. It's in the name of Jesus that people are healed. It's in the name of Jesus that people are forgiven of their sins. Part of the Great Commission is going. It's the good news, but it is also carrying the name of Jesus. Real quick, time, pause. In the book of Revelation, it tells you some pictures of the end time. And it says that God's people, the people that belong to Jesus and are ready for his return, have one very powerful identifier on them. They have his name written in their foreheads. Now, I'm not telling you get a magic marker or a tattoo and put it up there. No, it's that there is something spiritual written on your head that you belong to him. It's the name of Jesus. The Great Commission is about carrying the name of Jesus. Anybody love the name of Jesus? I remember growing up, they used to sing, there is a name I love to hear. And I love to sing. It's worth, it sounds like music in my ear. Help me. The sweetest name on earth, and oh, how I love Jesus. I know that not all the cutting edge churches are singing that, but let me tell you, I love the name of Jesus. It's the sweetest name I know. That's all my hope, all my peace is in the name of the Lord. All right, so you carry the name of Jesus, and when you carry the name of Jesus, that's not all you carry. You carry spirit power. Somebody say spirit power. right here in the Great Commission, that there is spiritual power. Right here it says they speak in new tongues. The gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, are active in fulfilling the Great Commission. There are a few other verses. Look at this. Verse 18, they will pick up snakes with their hands. Now, don't freak out. We'll explain that in a second. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Those serpents, that's a spiritual entity. And when you have the name of Jesus, when you have the Spirit power, those things are subject to you. The things that are meant to hurt you, they're subject to you and they no longer hurt you. And disease is subject to you. You lay hands on the sick and they recover. They are made well.
Amen.
What is that? That is spirit power.
Yes.
God has given you the name of Jesus to carry and he has put spirit power within you. So that was Matthew 28:19. That was Mark 16:15-18. Let's look at Luke 24 beginning at verse 47. This is where I'd write this in my Bible if I were you. I would put Luke 24:47 is my mission. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. What's that first word there? Repent. What is repentance? Repentance is the forgiveness of sin. Repentance is the turnaround where you are no longer bound by sin, but you are turned towards Jesus Christ. If you're going to fulfill the Great Commission, you need to be able to talk about repentance, and you need to have experienced it yourself. The forgiveness of sins. What else? This is also the good news, the gospel of him, right? It's going to be preached. That repentance, this message of repentance, this message of hope, what is that? That's the good news. That's the gospel, and it's going to be preached. Let me tell you, preaching, what we think about preaching is somebody gets up in a nice suit, and they got a microphone, and they take their text, and that's preaching. Preaching is just speaking. It's declaring. It's opening your mouth and talking about it. You preach. Don't dare say that you're not a preacher. You preach all the time. You preach all the time about what your favorite TV show is. You preach all the time about how Tony Romo couldn't do a hill of beans. And Dak Prescott, thank goodness we finally got him. You preach about these things. You are speaking authoritatively about something. Let me tell you, you're called to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. You're called to speak emphatically about him, about repentance, about forgiveness, all right? That's you. That's you. That's you. You don't need like a plaque hanging on the wall that says you're a preacher. No, that's you. That's your mission. Are you accomplishing it? Next, what does it also say? It's going to be preached in whose name? In Jesus' name. There we have again. It's his name showing up. And where? All nations. All nations. See it showing up again? It just keeps showing up. That's verse 47, verse 48. You are my witnesses of these things. You see, you have to be a witness in order to fulfill the Great Commission. You have to be a witness. You have to have believed the message of Jesus Christ. You have had to have had him changing your life. And then you have to tell other people about it. Let me tell you, if you go into a courtroom as a witness and they ask you, okay, so what happened? There was a car crash. What happened on the car crash? And you say, well, I didn't really see it. I just heard it from down the street. They would say, sorry, we can't use you as a witness. You have to have first-hand knowledge of the accounts. You have to be a first eyewitness of the accounts. Let me tell you, we have a very alive Jesus. Are you a first-hand witness that he's alive? Are you a first-hand witness that he saves? Are you a first-hand witness that he heals and that he's coming? Come on. Are you a first-hand witness? And if you are, then why aren't you telling somebody? That's a great commission right there. Verse 49, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with what?
Power.
Power from on high. What is Jesus talking about here? He's talking about Holy Spirit power. And it is the promise of the Father. It is what the Father promised. And it is sent to the believers. It's a part of the Great Commission. All right. So all of these things together. Repent. Good news. The gospel. The name of Jesus. All nations. Being a witness. Spirit power. Now let's move to John chapter 20. And John's always a little different, right? John does this different. John chapter 20, verse 21. I would write this in your Bibles. I'm telling you, I would write this in my Bible. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Remember that you are to go in the Great Commission. That you are sent by God to go into the world. You are called to go to someone else. You're called to go to all nations. You are sent.
Yes.
All right. Verse 22. And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You see, there's that Spirit power showing up again. That is a part of our mission. Jesus says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Have you received the Holy Spirit? You need to. The world needs to. Every church needs to be filled with the Spirit power of the Holy Ghost. Verse 23, if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. This verse confuses a lot of people. Let me break it down very simply for you. When we look at all the other Great Commission scriptures, it makes a lot more sense. He's talking about sin forgiveness. Remember, he said that repentance and forgiveness of sins would be preached in my name. He's saying that the works you are doing, guys, in the Great Commission is going to act towards somebody's sins being forgiven.
Yeah.
Be a part of that. Get into that. Sin forgiveness. All right, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those are the four Gospels, right? Four Gospels. Each of the four Gospels contains a different telling of the same great Commission. There is another Great Commission passage found. It's found in the book of Acts, chapter 1. Write it down in your Bible if you're taking notes. This passage ought to be very familiar with you, familiar to you, right? This month, it is our memory verse. Have you memorized it? Let's look at it one more time. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power after when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What do we have here? Do you recognize anything? Spirit power.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is going to bring power, and you are going to be what?
Witnesses.
Witnesses, right? You are witness of all these things, Jesus said. You are going to be witnesses. He doesn't say you are going to go to Bible college and 4 years later you're going to come out a certified witness.
No.
He said when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you are witnesses.
Yes.
That God does a transformative thing that turns you into a witness for Him.
Right.
And guess what also is available in this, is brought out in all this, that you need to go.
Yep.
Beginning at Jerusalem. Going further to Samaria, going further to the area of Judea, but then to the ends of the earth. Remember the all nations idea? There it is. It's showing up over and over again. This is the mission of Jesus Christ. This is the mission of the church. I would like you to say this with me. This is my mission. Can you say that sentence? This is my mission. All right, so let's look at this mission. Just break this all down right here for you. Go, good news, disciple making, belief, repent, sin forgiveness, baptism, Jesus' name, Spirit power. Is this your mission? Is this what you are making your life about? Be careful not to diminish any part of this mission. Be careful not to diminish any part of this mission. I am worried for people that stand in a pulpit and tell their church that the Holy Spirit is no longer active anymore. You just diminish the spirit power of the mission of the church. I worry about people who stand in the front of a church and say, listen, you can get baptized, but it's not really all that important. Say what again? Jesus made it sound really important in the Great Commission. All right. It's not, you know, just do whatever you can. You don't have to like go and tell people. You don't have to be a crazy person for Jesus. What, are you kidding me? You are called to go tell everybody and be a witness for Him. Be careful not to diminish any part of the mission. But can I add this? Be careful not to add anything to this mission. Don't you dare add to this mission. Don't you dare say, you know what, you need to do all these things and you need to give us your money. Don't you dare do that. Don't you dare say you need to do all these things and then you need to worship just like I do. No, don't you dare do that. You need to dress just like I do. You need to have the same lifestyle that I do. No, don't you dare do that. That is not our mission. And let me tell you, churches go down that path sometimes. All right, we're moving on. This is the mission, right? I've got you all sold on that?
Yes.
Praise God. Good. Well, where is this mission? Where's the first place the Great Commission is fulfilled? Where's the first place it happens? Acts chapter 2. I want you to watch the Great Commission be fulfilled in Scripture. We're going to look at it. We're going to move fast. In verse 1, spirit power erupts. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, right? They were all gathered, and suddenly there came a sound of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting, and suddenly tongues of fire came and sat on each of them. They all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is powerful, and it erupted in that room. Verse 1 of Acts chapter 2, it causes everyone around that sees it happening to ask a question. They ask, are these folks okay? Is there something wrong with these people? Maybe they're drunk. They ask, are these people drunk? All right. How crazy, powerful, transformative with the Holy Spirit that it made people go, there's something a little weird. There's something a little different. Maybe they're drunk. Maybe they're drunk. You ever been around a happy drunk? You ever been around a happy drunk? I remember, I won't say him by name, but I remember this one guy. He told me he loved me like 30 times. Man, I just love you, dude. We need to hang out more. It's like, sure, buddy. I love you too. Let's hang out. Not now. All right. But there was like a joy there. There was all kinds of stuff. But they saw a physical transformation in this person. They could only think one way to answer it. It's got to be like some hallucinogenic kind of a thing going on. No, it was the Holy Spirit. And then Peter gets up and he speaks. He tells them, listen, they aren't drunk. Listen, Matthew, Acts chapter 2, verse 22. We'll skip down a little bit. Look at this. Men of Israel, listen to this. Who does he start talking about here? Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. Verse 23. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to a cross. Heavy words, right? Verse 24. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Verse 32, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses to the fact. Verse 36, therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Can we clap our hands for this Jesus? Risen from the dead, both Lord and Christ, miracle working God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, Peter's witnessing, right?
Yes.
Does it sound like Great Commission speak? He's witnessing. He is preaching, and he's preaching what? The good news, the gospel of Jesus. And you know what happens after he does that? Verse 37, look at it. When the people heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" They had one of those moments where you're looking around and you're going, "I'm looking for anybody that's not afraid." No, we're all afraid. Whoa, what do we do, guys? What do we do about this? The Lord in Christ, we crucified him. The one sent from God, the Messiah, we killed him. What do we do? And that's when Peter says in Acts chapter 2:38. Well, first let me say this. The people heard the message and they obviously believed it.
Yes.
Is that a part of the Great Commission?
Yes.
To believe, absolutely. And they ask what they need to do. And then Peter stands up and he tells them in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. You look at this verse. I'd like you to put this under your notes, under the Great Commission. And I'd like you to put a big circle around it and say, it's fulfilled here. Peter replied, "Repent." Is that Great Commission talk? "And be baptized." Is that Great Commission talk? "Every one of you." Is that Great Commission talk? All nations, every person. "In the name of Jesus." Is that Great Commission talk? "In the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." Is that Great Commission talk? "And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Is that Great Commission talk? So the Great Commission, you find it in Matthew 28. You find it in Mark 16. You find it in Luke 24. You find it in John 20. You find it in Acts chapter 1. But the first time it's fulfilled is in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And here it is. Repent, baptism, sin forgiven, Jesus' name, in all the world, and Spirit power. Love the next verse. If you're going to read verse 38, you might as well read verse 39 because it's good too. Look at it. "For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Can I tell you that this promise is still available today? It didn't just stop with them in Acts chapter 2. It didn't stop with the death of the last apostle, like some say. It is still to all that are called by God. You feel God calling you? You feel God reaching out for you? This is for you. This is your promise. Repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of all your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's for all nations. It's for all nations. They didn't even really fully understand that yet. The Gentiles don't come to, all nations don't start receiving it until Acts 8 and Acts 10. This is the Great Commission being fulfilled. Man, wouldn't you like somebody to point at our church and our church to be this kind of church and say, this is the Great Commission being fulfilled. I would like that to describe our services. But let me tell you, we need to see some people being baptized for that to happen. We need to see some altars filled with people repenting for that to be the case. We need to see some spirit power if that's going to be what describes us. We got to be a first century church in this 21st century world. Amen. The same pattern happens in Acts 2, and it happens through the rest of the book of Acts. This pattern is what needs to happen here today on January 29th, 2017.
Amen.
Let's hit the whole book of Acts. What do you say? Let's just go crazy and let's talk about the whole book of Acts very quickly. You ready?
All right.
All right. This is insane. Like I've been told all week not to do this, but I just feel excited about it. We're going to do it. The first century church shared the gospel whenever they were, wherever they were, no matter what was going on, no matter who the audience was, they were always about the mission.
Yes.
Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, they're walking to the temple to go to a prayer meeting when somebody is healed in the name of Jesus. They stopped everything. They put their schedule on hold because the mission was coming in that moment. Acts chapter 4, they go and they are give that same mission to the Sanhedrin. And in Acts chapter 6, they shared the gospel with widows and with those that were hungry, and they fed them and they shared the gospel with them. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen, shared the gospel with those even as they murdered him. Even as they are picking up stones to kill him. He is fulfilling his mission by praying for them that God would forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And guess who was in that crowd? A guy who would become Paul the Apostle. My goodness. You don't think Stephen's prayer worked? Sometimes we don't think our prayer works because we don't see it turn out like we think we ought to. We think our prayer only works if we aren't going through pain and suffering. No, his prayer worked.
Yes.
Look in your Bible, it worked. Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, 1 Corinthians, 2, it worked.
Yeah.
Good Lord. All right, Acts chapter 8, Philip fulfilled the Great Commission in Samaria, and all the believers repented. They were baptized. They were filled with spirit power. And even while that's happening, God speaks to Philip and he says, go out in the middle of nowhere. And he's like, okay, God, because he's just obedient like that. My goodness, does that preach to us? Could God tell you to go just somewhere out in the middle of nowhere and you'd do it? He goes out in the middle of nowhere, and there's a guy riding along in a chariot. He hops up on that chariot. He starts to talk to that guy. That guy's reading Isaiah chapter 53, and Philip says, hey, would you like me to explain that verse to you? It's about Jesus.
Yeah.
He fulfilled his great commission right there. Acts chapter 9, Ananias, a guy named Ananias shares the gospel with that Christian killer named Saul, and now we know him as Paul. He believes, he's baptized, he's filled with the Holy Spirit power. Acts chapter 10, Peter fulfills the Great Commission in a Gentile's home. A non-Jew named Cornelius received the message of Jesus. And while Peter yet spoke the words, while he was in the middle of telling him what to do, the Holy Spirit fell in that house and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they were baptized. In Acts chapter 11 and 12, they just retell that verse and all of Jerusalem is amazed. They're told that story. In Acts chapter 13, verse 14, Paul and Barnabas plant the good news of Jesus in others. In new cities and nations. The whole church realizes, wait, this mission is for every nation, like Jesus said. Maybe we should send out missionaries. And Paul and Barnabas are sent. In Acts 15, some people tried to stir up contention by adding to the mission. They tried to say that one needed to be circumcised according to the law in order to be saved. Can we talk about it real quick? When you've got this mission right here, anything else that would distract you from the mission, you need to put an end to it. You need to squash that thing. And that's what the New Testament church did. They squashed that. They said, no, we are not preaching this. This is not in the Great Commission that Jesus sent us in. This is the mission. And they got right back to preaching the mission.
Amen.
You see that? Do you see it? Don't let silly things distract you from the mission. Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are locked up in jail and bringing the mission, while bringing the mission to Ephesus in a jail cell, in a bad moment, right? When things are dark, when things are bleak, when things are up in the air and you don't know where they're going, what they do? They fulfilled the mission. They said, you know what? Let's get a hold of some spirit power here in the jail cell. And they started singing praises to God. And God's spirit came and it shook the prison and the walls began to shake and prison doors flew open. Now get this. Are they set free?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? They were still about the mission. You see where you and I might have been. Let's get out of here, Silas. Come on, let's go. They looked around and they saw the Philippian jailer. They saw the guy who was holding them there. And rather than running away from them, they spoke to him. And they shared the mission with the very guy who held the keys of their captivity. Woo! Praise God. And you know what? They went to that guy's house and they baptized him and his whole family. And they're all rejoicing. Woo! Hallelujah. That's the mission right there. Do you understand that the very people that hold the captivity over you, you're called not to like hurt them or kill them or even run away from them. You're called to share the mission with them. They're your mission field.
Yes.
They're your mission field. Someone say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 7, Paul preaches Jesus to Athens, Greece on Mars Hill. And it's one of my favorite chapters. You know what verse, you know what chapter of the Bible he turns to tell them about Jesus? Not one. He doesn't turn to the Bible. He actually speaks to them in their own language. He speaks to them according to their own poets. He speaks to them according to all the, to even uses their own ideology to preach to them about the unknown God. But he brings the gospel into a mission field that had never heard it before. Acts chapter 18 in Corinth, Paul takes a day job as a tent maker. He brought his mission to work with him.
All right.
Oh, yeah. You see, your mission can go to work with you. It can go to school with you. And the guys and gal he was working beside was Aquila and Priscilla. They were a married couple. And he shared the gospel. He shared the mission with them. Aquila and Priscilla join in that commission. And they get saved. And then they go on and share a more excellent way to a guy named Apollos in the same chapter. And he even goes and carries the message further. Praise God. I love it. Acts 19. Paul asked some disciples of John the Baptist if they'd ever received this spirit power. They said they had never heard of the Holy Ghost. So Paul baptizes them in the name of Jesus, and they come up out of the water prophesying and speaking in tongues, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they went on their mission. Acts chapter 20, Paul teaches in Philippi, and he only had one night. Everybody said one night. His schedule was such a thing that he only had one night in this town to be with them. So guess what he did? He taught all night. Way past midnight, he taught. He kept teaching. He taught with urgency. I've only got so long to be here, and there's a mission that has to be fulfilled. And I need to encourage these people. I need to give them the tools to fulfill their mission. I got to tell them about Jesus. I got to give them the revelation that God gave. I got to do this. And it's going on forever. Don't you dare think your pastor preaches too long. We have never been here past midnight.
That's right.
While he is preaching, somebody falls asleep. And they fall asleep while perched at a windowsill on the second floor. And this guy falls right out and falls down on the street and dies. His name is Eutychus. You ever want to know how to the name? Remember the name Eutychus? Here it is. His name's Eutychus because Eutychus too, if you fell out of that window. No one ever laughs at that joke, but I'm committed to telling that joke everywhere I go. Praise God. Eutychus, that's my mission right there, telling that bad joke. No, and get this. Here's what happened. While Paul is on his mission, this guy dies, Eutychus, and Paul runs down. He runs down to the street. He grabs Eutychus, and God brings him back to life. God raises him from the dead. Now, I want you to get this. Paul goes right back to teaching. Paul goes right. Can I preach to you for a second? Can I preach to you? Here it is. We love miracles. I want miracles. We want to see that spirit power. Absolutely. The New Testament church ought to be filled with miracles. But miracles are not more important than the mission.
That's right.
Can I tell you why this miracle happened? Because God needed Paul to get back to preaching. God needed Paul to get back into that teaching mode. We don't need to have a funeral right now. Let's raise Eutychus from the dead so we can get back to the mission. I feel so strongly to urge to tell you, you want to see miracles in your life? Get a hold of the mission. Because God will give you a miracle to help you get to your mission. Do all that you can do. And when you reach the end and you say, God, I need your help to fulfill the mission, you look out. A miracle will come. A miracle will come. Peter is in a jail cell. He's going to die in the morning. But God says, nah, I need that boy to go fulfill a miracle, a mission. And he opens those prison doors and he lets Peter go free. You want to see miracles in your church? Be a church that's about the mission. You want to see miracles in your home? Be a home that's about the mission. We read it, Mark chapter 16. It says, these signs will follow after them that believe. Those signs will follow after. Signs miracles come after, not before. The person that's believing, that's walking in the faith, that's walking in the mission, miracles flow behind them.
All right.
Miracles show up behind them. Let us be that kind of church.
Yes.
Let us be that kind of family. Let's be those kind of people that the miracles, the signs of God, they flow out of us. Oh my goodness. I tell you what, the next time you pray, why don't you change the way you pray? God, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Change that. God, help me fulfill your mission. Help me fulfill your mission, God. Lord, if there's something you can do supernaturally to gift me and to help me to fulfill your mission, God, do it. You watch God give you a miracle right there. You watch it happen. Eutychus would tell you about it. Acts chapter 21, Paul is arrested while fulfilling his mission. His mission doesn't stop. He keeps right on going. And Acts 22 through 26 is one big long story about him. He is in court. And instead of defending himself, this is something your lawyer would never tell you to do. Instead of defending himself in court, he just testifies of Jesus in court. They said you're a crazy guy that's stirring up all kinds of trouble. He's like, let me tell you about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He doesn't say, no, man, that's not true. He says, let me tell you about Jesus. Let's learn scripture again. Right there in court, he was, even when it came to defending himself, he was about the mission. He was about the mission. He tells his testimony. He tells them how Jesus found him in a desert. He was all about the mission. He presented Jesus to that whole courtroom. He presented Jesus to governors, Felix. He presented Jesus to kings, Agrippa, and everyone else. Acts 27, Paul is being transported as a prisoner, and he is shipwrecked. Yet even in crisis, he proclaims Christ. He proclaims Christ to his fellow captives. He proclaims Christ to the Roman soldiers. In Acts 28, Paul is bitten by a poisonous snake after a shipwreck, right? The locals stared at Paul, waiting for him to fall over dead because the poisonous snake bit him. But what does he do? It says that he just shook the snake off into the fire and began to preach Jesus to them.
Yes.
I don't have time for this. I'm about the mission. You ought to have a little bit of that kind of attitude up in your heart right now. I don't have time for this struggle. I don't have time for silly arguments on Facebook. I don't have time for what's going on in political spheres. I'm about the mission. I don't want to talk about refugees right now. I want to talk to you about the hope for all refugees, Jesus Christ. Is anybody with me in the house? Oh, man. Paul did die. He just kept fulfilling his mission. And in Acts chapter 8, that is the final chapter that Luke wrote. He's the guy who wrote the book of Acts. That's the last written chapter of the book of Acts in Acts chapter 28. And it ends like this. Here's the last two verses. Verse 30. For two whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. It's like a house arrest kind of situation. And verse 31, boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ until his very last day on earth, the last day where they would take his head, he preached Jesus to the very end. The church received this mission from Jesus. That was the whole book of Acts. Sound like an exciting book? Oh, yes. Does it sound like an exciting church?
Yeah.
Does that sound like the kind of church you'd like to go to?
Yeah.
Is that the kind of ministry that you'd like to be a part of? That's what we want here. God, that's what we want. It's your mission. The church received this mission from Jesus. The apostles worked to fulfill the commission until their final breath. Redemption Church, is this our mission? To go. Good news. Disciple making. Belief, repent, sin forgiveness, baptism, Jesus' name, spirit power. Is that our mission? Is that our commission? Do you know your mission well? Some of this stuff might be kind of fuzzy to you. Get it in your heart.
All right.
It's your mission. You know, when they hand soldiers a gun, they say special things about this gun. They're like, you better sleep with this gun. This gun's your best friend. You ought to know this gun backwards and forwards. You need to know how to take this gun apart. You need to know how to clean it. You need to know every piece of this gun right here, because one day your life will, this is my rifle. They've got this saying that they do. This is your mission. Do you know it piece by piece? Do you know it backwards and forwards? Soldier, do you know your mission? Are we focused on the mission? Can I talk to you? Not a church at large, as an individual. Are you focused on the mission? Do you spend more time praying for blessing than the mission? Is this your mission? Have you really made it a part of your life? Are you focused on it? Have you let things distract you from the mission? Whatever that would be, why don't you shut those things out today? Shut them out today. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. Thank you, guys. Y'all, you are awesome. We're about to be opening this altar. But I want to ask you these final questions. You know, we can fulfill the Great Commission here today. If you've never repented before, have you ever? You could repent today. It fulfills the Great Commission. Maybe you've never believed before. Maybe you don't know what all that's about. Come pray with us today. Talk with us. That is what it's all about. Have you ever been baptized in the name of the Lord? Have you been filled with God's Holy Spirit? All right. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to do? Are you ready? That's the Great Commission. You can do it today. These altars are open. Who wants to fulfill a mission in this house today? If you want special prayer, I want you to come in the first 2 feet. See, I want to explain this about Redemption Church. We open this altar. We really want you to come from your seat. But we don't want to make you feel uncomfortable by praying for you if you don't want prayer. But if you want prayer, you come in the first 2 feet of this altar, and it lets us know you want us to pray with you. Come right now. If you want special prayer, come into this first 2 feet. If you want to know, if you want to pray about your mission and how to better fulfill your mission, why don't you come in the first 2 feet right now? We want to pray with you. Come on, church, let's talk to God. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray for every person that's in this house right now. Lord, I thank you for the mission that you've put in us, God. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, you gave us this mission. Help us to focus on this mission. Help us to be a part of this mission. Help us to go. Help us to make disciples. Help us to believe. Help us to preach repentance and the remission of sins in your name. Lord, help us to baptize people in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for our families, that our families would be mission-focused, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, for our church, Lord, that we would be right in the center of your mission, God. In Jesus' name, forgive us for being distracted by other things. Help us to be right in the center of it. Come on, let's talk to God in this house. Let's get a hold of this mission right now in Jesus' name.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.